You've got to be kidding me. What's going on again? It was just a printer error. It's the news according to me. Well, you know there's a lot for the show if I have a hard time getting in my intro, which sometimes has something to do with what I'm going to talk about. Sometimes it doesn't. Good morning. It's Wednesday morning already. May 18th. Now, this is an early show. It's 6:11 a.m. Eastern Standard Time. Early, especially for those of you on the East Coast, it's 3 in the morning. So, or on the West Coast, I'm sorry. It's I'm Eastern Time here. So, you know, you need to be up for this. You need to be awake, ready to go, fully functioning, and paying attention. Have your coffee, get awake, listen to this show, because this is going to be a really boring show. So you really need to be awake in order to stay awake for this show, as most of my shows are. It's just, you know, me driveling on about something, complaining. Some crotchety old man complaining about something. But you need to know what's in my cup. That's what's I have in my cup this morning. I have some down here in the southern area, where I'm at in Atlanta right now. I hit the tea down here is very usually. If you ask for sweet tea, it's sweet. I mean, unless they get it wrong, they just give you tea that's not sweet. This has happened to me. They just don't pay attention when you tell them I want sweet tea, and they'll just bring you tea that's not sweet. Like literally just unsweetened tea, because they offer both. Most places down here, they just offer you both, whatever you want. You want sweet or unsweet? And the servers get it wrong. It's just the way it goes. Of course, this was a fast food place when I said I want a sweet tea. I want the two sandwich deal, and I want a sweet tea. And she pulls out this big old cup, puts it on the counter, and she walks off. Well, there wasn't sweet tea out on the counter out there. It wasn't any place to get sweet tea. The only place they have that for that is back behind the counter. So I sat there waiting until she came back out. And she was going to serve somebody else. And I said, do you have sweet tea someplace? And she goes, oh, sorry. And then she grabs it and goes back. I said, well, you know, I was going to wait. You know, I don't need it right now because my meal isn't even out yet. So she went and got the tea, got the cup, and she got me tea. And then she put it back out there. Oh, thank you. And I went back, got my straw, put it in there. And then my sandwich came out, or sandwiches. I went back to the table, going to eat. And, you know, took a sip of tea, and it wasn't sweet. However, I drank it anyway. I don't have to have the sugar. I'm not a fanatic about it. You know, not quite. I'm really close, though. I just didn't want to go back up there and ask for sweet tea, because then I know she's going to just spit in it. So I just ended up taking that tea, what was left of it, and I mixed it with some other sweet tea that I got yesterday. And actually, it's just about right. It's not quite sweet like I like it, but it's actually drinkable. It's just got just enough sweetness to it. It's more like it's kind of like how I make it at home. I actually don't make tea that's super sweet at home. I've got a backup cup, though. I've also got this, I still have some V8 Fusion mixed with some other tea, with some other juice. It's in my thermos. That's good stuff. And then I've got a backup of water. That water over here as well. So I'm ready to go this morning. But unfortunately, I've talked about my cup so long that the show's about over. So sorry about that. This should just be a show called What's in My Cup, and I'll see you later. That's what it should be. I have a couple things going on right now. It just astonishes me that these people get away with this stuff. And just there's two things this morning that are stuck in my... you know what a craw is? A craw is like a part of a cat's paw. It's like the part where where the pads are. It's stuck up inside the pads there. It's like stuck in your craw. Something stuck in your craw. It's part of a paw. I'm like an old toothless lion that has something stuck in his craw. They're going after Tucker Carlson. I'm going to start with this first. First of all, I'm going to talk about the election of it in a minute. What's going on there? It just blows my mind that this kind of stuff keeps happening, and nobody's really like, they all just think it's normal because it always happens. It just must be normal because it always happens. And it's just excused and let go, and that's all fine and well and good. Yeah. They're going. MSNBC is going after Tucker Carlson on this lunatic, fringe, crazy, insane thing, blaming him for what happened in Buffalo. When Tucker Carlson came out in defense of himself and basically said these people are insane, they're crazy, he's basically not even giving them any credence. I don't even think he talked about it last night on his show. I didn't get to watch all of his show, but I don't know what all he talked about. They're actually going after him and blaming him. They're saying Fox has blood on its hands. They're literally saying things like this. They're blaming Fox News. Schumer even came out and said there's one news, you know, cable news channel that's to blame for this. They're blaming a news channel because of the rhetoric coming from Fox News. Now, say what you will about Fox News. You can criticize how they do business there, or how they do the news, what their agenda is, whatever you want to talk about. When someone goes out, this just shows the insanity of January 6th, blaming Trump for something someone else did. They're blaming Fox. It's just any opportunity they have to go after their enemies and blame something on them that has absolutely nothing to do with them. They come up with this narrative and they throw it out there and they start to make it sound like this is all your fault. The vitriol and the incitement and the allowing of the incitement consistently comes from radical leftists. And this guy was a radical leftist, by the way. He hated Fox News. He was a communist. He was an insane kid. Okay, he had no idea. He probably couldn't even spell communist. But they're going after Tucker Carlson, blaming him for this kind of thing. Which is just so beyond the pale. It's the most undignified, ridiculous response to what's going on. To just ramp up the political rhetoric and start to act like, oh, see, they're the bad guys. That's, you can't watch Fox News. Fox News should be censored and they should be disbanded and it should be shut down. Now, you have to realize, now the one thing that, you know, whether you like Fox News or not, or I don't like all the people on there, but if for no other reason, at least they counter some of the rhetoric. Think about if we didn't have Fox News, if we didn't have Newsmax, if we didn't have OLN, or ON, what is it called? One Nation News, whatever it is called. Epic Times. Some of these news organizations that counter the rhetoric that we're hearing, that actually point, you know, to factual data. Can you imagine if they did get a hold of something that was actually factual and on MSNBC that was a scandal? The way they blow everything else up that's not even existing, the way they make stuff up. If we didn't have that, if they were fully in charge, and then all we had was them and all their propaganda, this, you want to talk about Goebbels? See, there was an individual in charge of propaganda in the Nazi regime when Hitler was in charge, and this has happened in so many dictatorships. That's just the most popular one. I don't mean to say that they're. I'm not going to call them Nazis. I'm going to say that they use their tactics. There's no question. There's no doubt in my mind that that's what they do. And it's as if they don't even recognize. They have absolutely no self-awareness, no ability to look critically at themselves. Now, Brian Stelter, if you ever look at him being confronted by anybody about those issues, he deflects and pawns off and starts to talk about how, he starts whining and crying and acting like, oh, no, we're the good guys. When they look in James, there's this scripture, I've talked about it before. A man looks in the mirror and walks away and forgets what he looks like. You look in the mirror and you see yourself as all disheveled and you got stuff on your face and you got mud and you got your hair's out of place and you got, stuff, something in your teeth because you've been eating green stuff. Green stuff. People eat green stuff. And they walk away and you forget what you look like. Or you look at yourself and think that'll go away. You don't even recognize that there's a problem. You just walk away. Forget what you looked like. That's James was very real in his book, in his letter that he wrote. And the older you get, I talk to people who are my age and older sometimes. Occasionally I will. Not very often because I don't like to. I just don't like old people, even though I are one. No, I talk to older people. That was a joke, by the way. But I've come to realize that the older you, I've always been kind of an old soul anyway. When I was 16, 17 years old, most of my friends were a lot older than me. Some of my closest friends were upper 20s and they were even in their 30s. And this is when I was a teenager. And those were just the people I related to. Well, I still kind of appreciate, I have a deep appreciation for older folks, if, as long as they can still, formulate a sentence. Because they're typically, as long as they have their wits about them, they're pretty real and they've been through a lot and they realize, it's, young kids will just be young kids. It's just the way they are. They'll grow out of it. Some of them will grow out of it. Some of them won't. Unfortunately, the more propaganda they get fed with, that becomes more part of their character and they have a harder time with that. And then, of course, that's a growing trend among young folk. So we're raising a society that's ever changing. When you start talking about progressives, what are you actually progressing to? We're progressing away from the founding principles of our country. Now they have this tendency to think, oh, you just want to live in the past. You want the old times. You want to live like it's 1950 with the white picket fence and it's just everybody wears a collared shirt and No, that's not it at all. But there are some traditional morals that are timeless. They act like we don't even want technology. We don't want anything to be artistically expressive. That's not the case at all. But this is where they go with this stuff. I've literally had someone tell me, you just want to live in the past. Well, no, I want to live in the present, but I certainly am concerned about where we're going into the future. What we've seen the last year and a half here is the full-on press, or nearly full-on, I think we're about 95%, into what the real radical leftist agenda would be if they were unrestrained. And they basically are very close to that point right now. When you consider that they have the House, they have the Senate, basically, barely, and they have the executive branch, or the Oval Office, the presidency. This is the most out of control, insane, this is where they're going. And I think it's finally waking people up to the fact that, hey, this is not America. They don't want, as Obama famously said, we're going to fundamentally change the United States. Not restore, fundamentally change. In other words, at its core, fundamentally, foundationally, we want to change this country. That is their goal. They don't like the Constitution. People who are, this is a guy who supposedly was an adjunct professor and was a constitutional scholar. He was not a constitutional scholar, by the way. He gave speeches about the Constitution at a college, at a university where he was not a professor. They blow this up in ridiculous ways. He was a fringe radical who studied the Constitution only with the intent of taking it apart, not seeing how the country can live, how to form a more perfect union, but actually to break up the union and to try to talk against its talking points and revamp it, redefine it. They really do believe that this is it's a living document that can be changed. Now, they're wrong about that, by the way. So Tucker Carlson now is being attacked by the loonies on the leftist media. I guess that's the same one and the same again. And even some people in the establishment. I've even heard some people on the right, or used to be right, supposedly right, I don't know, going after Carlson on this stuff. I don't think he wants to even give him the time of day because it's so ridiculous, but you have to say something. Otherwise, they'll just continue on with it and it starts to fester and grows. You got to nip it, Andy, in the bud. So here's the other thing that's going on right now. I woke up this morning to find, I was like, okay, so is Dr. Oz won or this other guy won? McCarter or whatever his name is. McCarter. Okay. I don't know what the guy's name is. Let's see if I can find the guy's name here. I got his name here somewhere. I can't remember what his name is. What's interesting, McCormick, that's his name, McCormick. Is it Dave McCormick? And Mehmet Oz, and of course, Kathy Barnett. There's a little discrepancy right now. Oz apparently is ahead by like 2%, or 0.2%, something like that. I don't know, some ridiculously small, razor-thin margin. Well, surprise, surprise. Guess what they found? They found 20-some thousand ballots, mail-in ballots, that they haven't been able to count yet because of a printer error. Hey, get this. A printer error. Now, my guess is that these ballots, what they're claiming here is that the ballots were printed out and they didn't have some, because what they're going to do is they're going to scan these ballots. That's how they count them. So when they scan them, they have to be exactly the way the ballot is supposed to be made, or the scanner won't count them properly. So if there was something wrong with the printing, wouldn't you just have a printer print all these ballots and print them correctly and have them approved and printed properly? Is this just somebody was incompetent here? Either the person overseeing the operation or the printer themselves screwed up. Somebody didn't check these ballots. A lot of the stuff's automated anyway, but. Or was it just that, we printed these out last night. And they're not going through the scanner right. How convenient. How many times does this kind of stuff have to happen?
A water main broke.
Water main didn't break. There was no emergency in Atlanta where they were at the ballot area where they were counting all the ballots. So here's a question for you. If they didn't stop counting because of a water main and evacuate the building because of some water issue, it was just a toilet overflowing, by the way. It wasn't even anywhere near where they were doing the... If that's the case, why would they tell you that? Why would they make up that lie? Why would they make up a story? What's the motive behind that? If we find out that the excuse that they gave for stopping the counting was made up, it was a lie, we're supposed to believe them when they say, oh, no, there was nothing else to see. No, those ballots under the table, that was normal. We're supposed to just, okay, yeah, oh, so what about the water? Well, there was a water main break. We thought it was a water main break, so that's why we stopped, and then we found out later, oh, it wasn't such a big deal. Oh, okay. Yeah, you must know. How many times are we going to hear this? The guy up in Minnesota, let's see, what's the guy's name? Was a comedian. Was actually in Congress for a while. Al Franken. Gets elected, he's behind, they're doing the count, and oh, look here, look what we found in a trunk of a car. Literally, this was reported. In the trunk of a car, they found all these ballots. And guess who all the ballots were for? Al Franken. And it tipped the election. Looky there. What happened there? Oh, just a coincidence. Just a little coinkydink. I'm getting tired of this kind of crap. And now we're seeing it in the Republican primary. Oh, 20-some thousand ballots. Well, gee, that's... If you even just look at normal percentages, at least they're trying to be sly about it. If you just look at normal percentages, that's enough. Because we're talking, Oz right now, I think, has 411,000 votes. And McCormick has 409,000 votes. We're talking, it's like 411,674 to 409,002, which means it's like about 1,500 ballots there, 1,600 ballots. And you found 20-some thousand ballots. Well, it'd be very easy to say, oh, there's 20,000 there for Oz and there's 10,000 for McCormick. That's all it would take. And it would be quite the tipping point. Now, the other guy that won, the Democrat primary, John Fetterman. Now, just to give you an idea, let's just get an idea here of what's going on. Now, they did not actually put in the total number. This is interesting. That is very interesting that they didn't want to do that. They didn't put the total number of votes in here, which they usually do. They'll say that there's X number of votes, and this is the breakdown of all those votes. John Fetterman got 690,000 votes, which looks like, oh, look at that. He got all these votes. Well, that was 59, almost 60% of the votes. Look at the people who showed up for the Republican primary. And you have 411,000 votes, more than half, is only a third of the votes. It's 31% of what came in the Republican primary. You've got Is it 800, over a million there? There's a million. Well over a million. And I don't even know if you have a million yet in the Democrat primary for Pennsylvania. There's just, now maybe everybody just assumed, you know, John Fetterman's going to win the Democrat primary. There was just wasn't a motivation to go out and vote. And there were only four people running. You know, Fetterman got 60% of the vote. The next person up got 26% of the vote. So there's very little left for the other two that were running. In the Republican primary, you had 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 people at least running. The bottom two were pretty negligible. They had more like Joe Biden numbers. And then the top three were in the close to 400,000, over 300,000 range. So there's the total votes. Interesting. There's that kind of, it was a hotly contested race and everybody was out voting. There was a little bit more motivation to vote in the Republican primary. Because they know that they're pretty sure. Now, John Fetterman, I guess, was actually in the hospital. He got an operation yesterday for heart surgery or something, and he still won. Interesting stuff. So that's what's going on right now. So they found these votes all of a sudden. And this is the kind of stuff that just, okay, how many times do we have to see this kind of thing happen? Now, personally, it looks like, at this point, it looks like Oz is going to win. If it turns out that McCormick wins because of this printer error, so we can't count these votes, the votes usually just are, you know, check marks on a check mark box. Can't you just go through and hand count these and then maybe do an audit on them? Can't you just do that in a couple hours? Can you want to validate that they're actually real? They were mail-in ballots, by the way. So these aren't just ballots that people showed up and did anything with. These are mail-in votes. This is why people don't trust mail-in voting and also, what's the other thing? Early voting. Early voting and mail-in voting, they just don't trust it. I guess the first counts that came through were already counts that were done by early voting. They plugged those in right away. And of course, right away, the two top contenders, not Kathy Barnett, they were both already right ahead. They were way ahead. Now, that bothers me. It really bothers me. She's not that far behind. We're talking, they've got 31% of the vote. They each have 31% of the vote. She has 24% of the vote. If one of those individuals had not been there, she would have been the other contender. Maybe she would have been, it would have been a landslide one way, or maybe it would have been the other direction too. You never know. I don't think that Oz obviously does not have the kind of popularity and the trust within the conservative community. Pennsylvania, by and large, most of Pennsylvania in terms of territory is very conservative. It is the populated areas of Philly and Pittsburgh and what's the other little, it's kind of a big town over there close to New York. Those areas are not conservative at all, which is what kind of leads to the strangeness of the whole thing. That's why I don't care for the whole, the whole system sometimes is a little screwy. So the those people in high populated areas have a tendency to control the rest of the state. And it's kind of sad. So as we go about the day here, we'll find out what's going on. My guess is, here's how I see this playing out all of a sudden after these votes are counted and everything is done. By the end of the day today, I'm assuming that the all-powerful Oz is going to somehow pull this off and be in the Senate. And then we're going to discover the chameleon that he is. It is very possible that Oz has been playing a character on his show only because his audience was a little bit left-leaning. You see, I think he was launched by Oprah. This is the same thing with, what's the other guy's name? Dr. Phil, who's not actually a psychologist at all. He's got like a doctorate in insect science or something. I don't know what he's got. It has nothing to do with, but he's some kind of a, you know, he becomes this great counselor on television. He was also launched by Oprah. Now, frankly, he doesn't seem like the kind of guy who would be a leftist. In fact, Dr. Oz does not come across to me when I hear him speak as the kind of person who would be a leftist nut either. Of course, as soon as he came out that he was going to run as a Republican, the left just pounced on him. There's no... If you're not with them, you are a Nazi, you are a racist, you are the devil. That's just where it goes immediately. And this rhetoric, by the way, it's interesting that some of the studies that are coming out, some of the polls that are being taken, because Schumer and all these people are assuming that all these people coming across the border are going to change the demographic, and they're going to be in the Democrat Party, and it's going to give the Democrat Party power for the rest of their lives because they're going to be at the top using these people, you know, literally. As a voting base to keep them in power. Oh, it just so happens to be the person at the top of the scale there is just happens to be an old white man. Yeah, they're all for you. We'll do whatever you need, even though what they're doing right now is killing the lower class and the people who are pouring across the border. They're going to realize, hey, there's no jobs here. Let's go back. This is ridiculous. Of course, what they have here, even if they're poor, is better than what they had there. So, in some cases, not always. So we have this, you know, ridiculousness going on the left, and they just keep calling up, down, down, up, right, left. It's just nothing's what it is. The sky isn't, you know, blue, whatever. We'll see what happens by the end of the day. So that's really all I wanted to talk about today, this morning. I'm going to be traveling. I've got some things to do. I'm going to finish some things up and tie up a few loose ends, as they say, here in Atlanta. And then I'm going to begin my trek back to Indiana for a couple of days. Get to be here till Saturday, or get there till Saturday. And then I take off and come back down here for a couple of days, and I go back home again. I should be back home. I think I'll be here Saturday and Sunday again, and I'll be home Sunday night. And I might get a couple days off. Maybe. I don't know how that's going to go. I'm not sure how that works. We'll see how it works. I do have a couple days off, and then I think I have to take a trip somewhere. So I hear my bumper music coming in. Here's a sip of tea for you. That was good. Yes. In the meantime, have a great day. God bless. We'll see what happens with this whole thing. And look around. See if you find any ballots hanging around under your bed or something. Have a great day, everybody. God bless. Take care. Pray for this nation.